listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live on a Friday. The governor says only essential businesses in operation. Here we are on 200 FSR stations across this great nation. We got one of the pros who knows, Steve Fezzik. Steve, did you hear what Jonas did to you?
I heard it in person.
Oh, my gosh. Well, listen, I was going to lead the show with it, but we've got some big news in the NFL. So at the beginning of the next segment, we've got the tape. We're going to do a forensic analysis of just how egregious, just because he wasn't here, just how egregious Jonas was. Now, real quick, Fez, give us a report from inside the walls, right? There's the people that live inside the walls and then the people outside. How's it doing inside?
I am in a lockdown, RJ. All I've seen is gardeners and a pool guy the past 4 days.
Now, that's fascinating. Still, though, the minions are grinding on the Fezzik estate.
Yes, there's been the normal activity.
I mean, did you say, hey, the envelope of cash is going to be under the rock, the third rock over? I mean, like, how was there any interaction?
Oh, I'm not opening up the door when it rings. Nope.
So they're like beating on the door, like maybe they need to go to restroom, whatever. And it's just like you're acting like you don't. You're going la 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 la, like you're not even hearing it.
On air, 24 hours. Nope.
I mean, Jonas, I just saved you there because who's going to feel bad about that guy? He's in L.A. He's Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And yes, on a day in which we've got NFL stories left and right, another weekend of people looking around for things to watch in the world of sports, what is the Vegas lead here on this Friday?
You know, I think this is big. Might seem soap opera-y, but I think it's big. It's coach of Tampa Bay, Bruce Arians, saying Antonio Brown, nah, no way.
Yeah, and on the Tiki and Tierney show on Thursday, Tampa Bay Bucks head coach Bruce Arians shot down the idea of adding Antonio Brown. Very well aware of what Antonio Brown brings to a team, said it wouldn't be a fit personality or player-wise there in Tampa.
Yeah, so first off, is Bruce Arians opening up a big blockbuster movie or something? Is it me or he's done like 22 interviews in the last couple, like this week?
I haven't heard him curse on any of them either, which is probably even more impressive if you know Bruce Arians.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, to me, this is a weird kind of, he's doing a tour and I don't think it's a coincidence, right? I mean, I guess the question is, how much of this is him wanting the attention, which, again, not saying that's horrible, but okay. How much is part of the deal with the Tampa ownership was, if we sign this thing, we got to get out and work it? I mean, my question is this. Right when the signing happened, if I would have said over under for appearances in national media or media by Bruce Arians, would it have been close to this number, or has this been much more than you would have guessed?
Well, I think it's uncharted territory for a lot of people because there was no real interest in wanting to interview a Tampa Bay Bucks head coach before. Brady mm-hmm. gets there. It's the biggest story in the NFL in decades, and so now everybody wants to talk to the head coach of Tampa Bay.
And I don't have any doubt that it's a smart move by the shows. I'm saying, could you imagine if Belichick signed a big free agent? He didn't do the Randy Moss tour.
No.
After they sign him,
he would do one teleconference. He would do one conference call. He'd have as many media members as wanted to call in, and then you would never hear from him until the season started.
And to me, again, it's not trying to say that it's a problem, but rather it might lend some insight into the thinking Tampa Bay had when they signed Brady, that maybe this doesn't make perfect sense on the field. And again, this is where the debate really is centered. Steve Fezzik, Vegas, pretty aligned with Brady is a slightly below average quarterback is what's projected based on last year, based on his age, 19th in our rankings at pregame.com, the Fez does. Now, you can say, well, in the playoffs, he'd be better. I think so, but still, 12, 13, 14, optimistically, because remember, the playoffs are after a long season, and Brady tends to trend down. Now, when he's had the buys, he's been able to then have that buy. Then there's a buy before the Super Bowl, 2 weeks. His age hasn't hurt him as much in the playoffs. Tampa is certainly not a favorite to get a buy, right? So, and you know, I should know this. Is this new playoff system with only the number one seed getting that starts next year?
Yeah, that starts this upcoming season.
Yeah, so, I mean, long shot to get a buy.
Yeah, correct.
So, Fez, would you agree? We've debated the whole, okay, 19th. Is where we got Brady ranked. We've also said in the playoffs, the pressure, his leadership upgrade. But unless somehow Tampa, very unlikely, got the bye, wouldn't the fact we'd be after the long season and then no bye pre-Super Bowl, first three playoff games, does the fact that he's tired and banged up without a bye most likely mitigate the upgrade for the playoffs? So I'm weighing playoffs pressure, Brady upgrade. But game 17, 18, and 19, no rest, downgrade. Does that maybe even itself out?
I think the downgrade might even be more significant than the playoff experience. And I'm thinking about New England's past season. How many times, RJ, do we see in their last two games New England runs the ball so much more, even when Brady plays and he gets so much less activity, and then they get that bye. He is spoiled with inactivity in late December.
He has been, past tense. But you're right. I mean, Belichick really took the air out of the ball the last couple of years in those late season games. Maybe too much against Miami, but I think that a year older, the factors we just laid out, our 19 ranking for Brady makes a ton of sense. I know a lot of people are going to say you're wrong. Well, we are willing to bet we're right. That's what Vegas does exceptionally well. You only got to be right 55% of the time, too. That's what else is important. People who struggle when they're wrong, they don't learn, right? Because they're always trying to figure out a way to make themselves right, even though they're not. In Vegas, Fez, if you hit 55%, that means you lose 45%. You're just smiling. You're just behind it. You're really what you do now, right?
Yeah, 55%.
You're ensconced in your mansion with your walls, and you let in a few, help, but you do not interact with them no matter what.
Pretty much. And 55% is the gold standard. That's not even necessary. You hit 54%, you can make a very good living betting on sports.
And a drunk baby flipping coins can hit 50%. I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas. So we've ascertained now, I think, that the Brady deal doesn't necessarily make sense on a football level. I think what we've seen with Bruce Arians and the press tour for the big opening in September gives us some insight into the mindset, the business side with Tampa, not in any way questioning it, but pointing it out. Let's get to this, though, Antonio Brown stuff. I think this is more than just a soap opera, because one of the concepts in football handicapping is strength upon strength, meaning, and the Eagles did this last offseason, didn't work. Best defensive line, one of the best in football. What was their big signing? Defensive line. Because what ends up happening is, if you get a situation that you're unguardable or you're unblockable, you could make the case the Rams, the season before this last season, when they played the Pats in the Super Bowl, the D-line, strength upon strength for them also. And why does that make logical sense? Because all you're trying to do is on the opposing team is create a weakness, right? Create some exploitable matchup. Well, if you've got two really good wide receivers, and now you throw in Antonio Brown, on the inside especially, how do you guard that? I mean, we literally have gone from if they sign Brown. And Fez, let me ask you, because I kind of get where some people are going to say, you know, Brown, he's older. He'd be disruptive in the locker room. You know, there's a lot of ways to act like this is a nostalgia story. Like, oh, it's a big name, but does it really matter? My point is, if Brown's anywhere near, and we don't know because what's he played, right? One game with the Pats, but he looked mighty good in that game. If he's physically where he was there and he's your third receiver, isn't that gigantic?
I don't think so. And the reason being is I don't think that AB is a top 20 wide receiver anymore.
I mean, first off, whoa. How in the heck do you feel qualified to make that assessment?
Well, I know how – I know he's
well,
over –
well is not an answer. Go ahead.
He's over age 30.
Uh-huh.
And last year, there's only two guys in the whole league that were in the top 20 in reception yards that were – over age 30. So.
Okay, and so we're talking about counting stats here, right? So what you're saying is that there's a bunch of them playing, but somehow they're not performing? Or is it that none of them are playing because they can't make the team?
Well,
Or you're going to say, I don't know, because I looked at Pro Football Reference and saw their age there, and I thought, oh, that's interesting.
Well, I just find it interesting how...
You're not making much of a case.
Julio Jones is the only guy at age 30.
I got you're going to repeat the same statement. I got that. All right? There's not a lot of old receivers. How's Julio Jones? Where's he rank in yours?
He's clear-cut top 10, if not top 5 wide receiver.
Okay, but he's over 30.
Yes.
And where was Julio Jones and Antonio Brown 3 years ago? How much older is Jones than Brown? Or vice versa?
They are, shoot.
Uh-huh.
AB is bookmarked the Pro Football Reference page? Jones, I believe, is 31.
Say it again?
AB is going to be 32 this year, and I believe Jones is going to be 31.
So when you say I believe, that's you saying you don't know.
I do not know.
Okay. So let's generally say, we can look, maybe Jonas, if you could look that up, if you got your computer in front of you, is to me, Faz, what you're saying here is, if Brown was a normal receiver, a normal dude, at his age, he just isn't producing. But he's not a normal dude. This is probably you could make the case in the last 10 years, he's the best receiver in football. Because it was always, as a Steeler fan, it was always Brown and somebody. Or maybe two names. And those names seem to change a lot. But Brown's just stayed there consistently, was in the top three receivers up until literally his last year in Pittsburgh, he was perceived as that. Now,
To your point, he is the same age right now as Julio Jones. They're both 31.
Oh, my gosh. So when you made your guess and you said, I believe, it always seems to err towards you being right, though. You ever notice that?
Well, I guess was wrong. They're the same age, and you can make the case that those have been two of the premium wide receivers the past three, you know, to 10 years. So,
well, yeah. For sure. And obviously, people are going to get old at some point. And I don't think Brown has 3 or 4 years left in him. And I think there is a question how much he has left. I'm not saying it's not. But my point was, based upon the assumption that what we saw from Brown last year in the one game is what we'd see this year. He was the best third receiver in football.
And, I agree with that.
And to me, that idea of strength upon strength, you could have an average quarterback, Tom Brady, average. And if you have the best three receivers at each slot, you know, the best one, the best two, the best three, or some variation, I think they could make the case they have the best two also. I mean, neither of those guys are the best receiver, but you'd have the best receiving core in football and a defense with Tampa that's mighty underrated. Next week, we're going to break down how good that defense is. It didn't show up on the scoreboard, but, man, the stats were good. Jonas, voice of the fan, Brown hypothetically signing with Tampa, how big of a story, football story, would that be?
Oh, it'd be a huge story. And I would actually argue that we look at Brown's age, but keep in mind he basically had a season off. So it's not like he's got another year of wear and tear. So his 31 might be a different 31. It might actually be closer to a 30-year-old as that 31-year-old because he only played one game and that was it. So basically an entire season off. And if he works as hard as everybody says he does, I think he'd be ready to play. I just think this was more about personality and
yes.
Bruce Arians having issues with that.
And that's my point. And let's do this. Let's take a break. When we come back, we've established now, though Fez resisted, he relented. We established Brown to Tampa would be a big football story. Why isn't it happening? We're going to break that down. And we're going to talk about Jonah's hit and run against Fezzik.
That's coming up next. But first, Straight Out of Vegas is brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it with their free same-day store pickup. You can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,600 AutoZone locations. Get in the zone. AutoZone. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight Out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will get into a big, giant misunderstanding here on Straight Out of Vegas.
Luckily, we have tape to prove it was anything but a misunderstanding, just maliciousness from Jonas. He doesn't like Colin Cowherd, apparently. That's the rumor. He now doesn't like Steve Fezzik, the best NFL handicapper, the best radio guy. I don't know. I see a trend. Thanks for joining us, though. Exciting day. This is the fastest growing show on Fox Sports Radio. We're up over double the audience in the last year alone. We thank you, and we know that the connection during this difficult time and having the ability to have a distraction and a little fun and a little knowledge is nice. You can listen, and this is particularly nice, podcasts every day. Now, you might say, yeah, podcasts are old, and sometimes they are, but the stuff we're talking right now in sports, it's evergreen. The stuff, NFL stuff today, tomorrow, the next day. So if you missed any of the shows, just search for RJ Bell or Straight Out of Vegas on your favorite pod player. Right now here in Vegas, 60 degrees on the strip, and unfortunately, the neon is still off.
So, RJ, there was a big, giant misunderstanding on Straight Out of Vegas yesterday, and I think we have some tape to prove it.
You know something? Let's get to it. I was thinking about finishing up. You know, actually, let's do this. Let's finish up the Antonio Brown stuff. Then we'll jump right to that. So I think what we've established on the Brown stuff is, yeah, there's a sense Fez's first instinct was, yeah, maybe this is more about big names and nostalgia. He's not as good. Yeah, he's not the best receiver in the league, Antonio Brown, anymore. But he'd be an amazing third receiver. Thus, it looking like him not being viable in Tampa not only is a heck of a bad thing for Brown. And again, I'm not sure how much sympathy Brown's getting right now, and justifiably so. Not getting sympathy, I think, is fair. He's been pretty egregious on certain things. But it is one of the best, if not the most accomplished receiver of the last 10 years. Maybe we've seen the end of the road for the guy. But when it comes to Tampa, not having him as a third receiver, big, big story. I also think, though, if you really think about it, Bruce Arians knows Antonio Brown. He was there in Pittsburgh as the offensive coordinator, and you could make the case this was the good Antonio Brown. Because though I don't have insiders in the Steelers, I would say amongst the fans, and I'm right in the middle of the fans there, is Brown was really well-liked up until, I would say, the first thing, and maybe I'm forgetting something, Jonas, but the first thing was when he did that streaming from the locker room.
Yeah, he did a Facebook Live while Mike Tomlin was talking to the team after a playoff game, and it was before they were getting ready to play the Patriots.
And it was one of those, like, wow, you don't expect this from him.
Yeah.
Because, real, again, I'm not an insider there. Who knows in the building? But he was known to externally, the perspective was, this is the hardest working guy on the team.
Yeah, there was nothing that went mainstream or anything like that. That was really the first issue that I can recall.
And, you know, Bruce Arians was gone by the time the issue start. And the matter-of-factness of it, the way he said it, man, it tells me that he is serious. And it also tells me if they do, if he was even leaving room open for Brown comes in, he shows he's contrite, all the, you know, stuff you might reconsider a close call, it would make him look worse, Bruce Arians, how matter-of-fact he is right now. He didn't have to be that matter-of-fact. He could have said, you know, I just don't see it. You know, well, and then all of a sudden now you'd be like, yeah, doesn't seem likely, but the door's open. Jonas, doesn't it feel like the door was pretty much shut? And if he goes back on it, it's going to feel like it got opened by somebody else.
Yeah, I think there's no shot that he's going to Tampa. Zero shot. Bruce Arians made that very clear. And he, you know, basically gave on field, even though we all agree that Antonio Brown's a great player, he gave on field and off field reasons as to why it's not going to happen. So, yeah,
The on field? I didn't hear any on field.
Well, just that it wouldn't be a fit. That he wouldn't be a fit there.
That sounds like off-field stuff.
It sounded like a little bit of both.
I don't know how a top inside slot guy is ever not going to be a fit on the field.
I mean, I think he looks at it like we don't need him.
Oh, okay, I'm fine with that. But you wouldn't care. I mean, like it's like if you had 20 houses in your rental property empire, and someone wanted to give you a 21st house for free that had value, you wouldn't say I don't need it. Right.
So well, I would, but that's just.
You would give away one of your houses. We know.
Of course.
Speaking of that, I think so. Fez, closing thoughts. You still, I'm sure, are thinking Brown might not be quite the. And again, you might be right. Meaning Brown, we've only seen one game. Effectively, it'd be like in 20 months if he would play this September. But assuming he's anything like we said last, you know, he was last year. I think we now both agree him as the number three is very valuable. Any closing thoughts on this?
Yeah, you brought me along to your side of the argument. In 2018, RJ, Brown was 30 and he had 15 touchdowns. I just went through the top 17 wide receivers last year. The most any of them had was 11.
I mean, listen, Brown, I hated it during Hard Knocks that he was in that Raiders uniform. And obviously some stuff's happened since. But just you don't even need to know his number. The way he runs, the way he moves, his ability to stop on a dime and change direction. And this guy was like a fifth-round pick. I mean, it's a heck of a story. You know, you look at like a Drew Brees and you see the $5 million. And, you know, it's just like sports can inspire you so much. And I kind of get the whole point. It's almost inversely related. The guys that are great athletes are given so much deference, so much special treatment. It's the hardest for them to grow up to be good people, at least initially. I think for the amount of athletes between 30 and 45, let's say, that change, there's a lot. If it's a normal guy, normal gal, what she is at 30, what he is at 30 is often what they are, right? And I've seen those exceptions, good or bad. There's exceptions, but I see a lot of athletes that are pretty immature at 30. It's almost like they grow up slower, and then at 45, they've grown up some more. They've made up some of the deficit. Jonas, you're in LA with Fox Sports Radio. You're around that. Would you agree in general the amount of growth you'll see from athletes later in life when it comes to their personality or their foibles is more than the average person?
Yeah, I also think because they're given so much so early,
yep,
that they end up having to grow up in front of your very eyes. Like Ben Roethlisberger is a perfect example.
You go back to
who he was. I mean, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, it's a completely different guy than who he is now, or at least that's the perception.
Yeah, well, for sure, and we all know perception's limited with everybody. You know, we all know ourselves that. No one fully knows us, right? That's what we're usually most afraid of, is anyone fully knowing how fraudulent that I think almost everyone to some degree feels inside, because we all, I think, look at our foibles, our limitations so much more clearly than other people do. It's like there's the models that have a little, you know, before Cindy Crawford especially, they have a little you know, how you feeling today? How you looking? Oh, horrible. What's wrong? Oh, my God. You see that? It's like, what? What are you talking about? But it could be anything, right?
Yeah.
We all have that. And the fact that we know we all have it should make it better for ourselves, but it doesn't seem to. I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas. Now, the stakes go up. I mean, I can't lie. Steve Fezzik is objectively the only two-time Super Contest winner. That's the most impressive contest, biggest contest handicapping in the world. Only got to win it twice. He's right here. He's part of pregame.com. He is a foundational building block of the company. Years and years. Years. Jonas Knox, not so much. NFL, not great. Not great. Part of the company? Yeah, well, you know, he's part of this show, and I'll tell you, a valued part of the show. Can't lie about that. How long? A little bit, 18 months. You know, we'll see. But somehow, some way, yesterday, Jonas, I don't know if I was given special treatment to Fez. I don't know what it was, but we got the tape. I don't have to explain what happened. We're going to listen to – we got two pieces of tape, actually, part one now. So, Jonas, did Fezzik ever tell you about his worst losing streak ever when he said, there's value on the New Jersey Generals, and just kept taking the number? I don't think he got the memo.
No, I haven't heard a lot about Fez's losing, but I do hear a lot about the winning.
Well, listen, you don't – whoa. That's a little hit and run right there,
buddy.
I'm just saying. All right, so part one there. Fez, were you listening live?
I actually listened to the podcast.
Okay. Now, did you know this was coming?
Not at all.
Okay. How did it feel at that point? Like, right there, let's stop time. Did it feel like at two brutes? Brute?
I got to tell you, RJ, Jonas is like my only cool friend in the entire world. And then to have the knife put in my back, wow.
Well, I think your bar for cool was a little low. But okay. So did it feel, would you say, seriously though, what were you thinking at that point?
I was like, oh, Jonas is going to come, he's going to come back and support me. This is just like a head fake.
Yeah, well, listen. You might think so. You'd be sadly disappointed. Let's listen to who did support you. First off, I think that's unfair because, and you know me, I'm as hard on, of all the feedback I get, by far the most prominent is, be nicer to Fez. I'm like, listen, there's money at stake, all right? You want to go have beers after, we'll have beers, but we got to get the right info. That said, when he loses, we'll have theme music around it. But it's not like we're hiding any losses. The guy wins.
I've received one text message from Fezzik after a game that he had money on, and it was the XFL, and it was his torrid streak in the XFL to where he went undefeated
the whole year.
The league. Yeah, but before the league shut down, and it was almost a humble brag tweet that he sent me. That's the only time I've ever heard from him on an individual text after a game that he bet on.
So in a way, though, that reinforces how unfair you were to him. Well, listen, tomorrow, this is going to lead the show.
Yeah.
We now know the Vegas lead.
Okay, perfect.
We're gonna play the tape, the hit and run. I mean, I'm defending. I feel good right now, right? Listen up, Twitter. Yep, it's true. And you know, listening to that now, he even found a way, Fez, to give you a jab at the end, where it's like a humble brag. It's like, I don't know. Jonas, do you want to admit any, like, the only way to grow, self-reflection, self-criticism, what drove that maliciousness?
Mean, I wasn't even here yesterday, so I don't even know why that sounded like John Ramos to me. I can't confirm nor deny.
When he says no con, it's called no contest in court. So that's pretty good, Fed. So did you see the way, like a tiger, I defended you?
Absolutely. And to your credit, RJ, going back in the time machine, week one, I was talking XFL all the time with you, and you're like, our listeners don't care about that, Fez. But by week two, the light bulb was on in your head, and you saw it. You saw my eyes glistening. You're like, Fez, every Friday, SOV, I want an XFL best bet. You saw how beatable that was.
Well, I also saw how engaged you were. I mean, when this guy, Steve Fezzik, like we said, two-time Super Contest, but also grew up in Dayton, Ohio, went to Northwestern. That's not easy. Graduated there, was a vice president of actuarial science or whatever at a big company when he was 35 or 36. and he quit it all to gamble. So you got a smart guy, a guy with a proven history. I don't care what Jonas says. And you got a guy that has gamble in his heart. Now, listen, he's got some downsides. We talk about that all the time, especially his disdain for the, as he calls them, the hoi polloi, just the average man. I look at myself as a lucky break amongst the average man, just, you know, more intelligent by a significant margin than the average person, but still average in some ways. Fez, you just want to separate yourself from him. That's a discussion for another day. I think our takeaway here is Jonas bad, RJ good, Fez aggrieved. Anyone disagree? All right. Greg the Leg gets signed by the Cowboys. What does it mean for Dak?
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Outta Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up 10 minutes from now here on FSR, we will continue the conversation in the National Football League as we head into the weekend. Want to let you know we are brought to you by My Computer Career. Stop waiting to see what happens when life gets back to normal. Take control of your future now. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. Live online classes meet just twice a week. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
I tell you, Jonas, I still marvel at Dan. He is so good at that. The way he took the fact we were talking about Greg the Leg, and he just appended it on and said, well, he's not with the Rams, but you know who is? See, when you try to do those segues, they seem so ham-handed.
Well, yeah, I'm not as good as Dan.
Can he tutor you with any of that?
He did. He did the best he could. I was an anchor for a little while, and
I mean, I think you've got to keep trying.
I mean,
just a little advice.
Yeah,
now, you got the voice, though, like Ted Bag. I mean, so maybe that's just enough, just the empty suit kind of thing. All right, let's talk about Greg the Leg real quick, because the Cowboys are not afraid to sign guys.
Yeah, the Cowboys reached a deal, according to reports, with Greg Zuerlein, formerly of the L.A. Rams, the kicker, a three-year deal worth $7.5 million.
Yeah, $3.5 guaranteed, it looks like. He missed 10 field goals last year. And it gets you thinking, Fez. We always say sample size. That's what gamblers say. What does that mean? It means if we're flipping a coin, but I have some edge. Let's say you're giving me $1.05. Every time I win the coin flip, I give you $1 every time you win. I can't, if the coin is fair, I can't lose unless we only do a couple of flips, and I can easily lose. So the casinos, whoever has the mathematical edge, wants the sample size to be as big as possible. So whenever we see a guy's been a great kicker his whole career to the point of being called Greg the Leg, that's a pretty good sign. You're pretty good as a kicker. To him having a horrible season, Fez, our first thoughts as gamblers is sample size, right? Long-term is what matters.
Exactly right, especially because Zuerlein is 32. Now, that's really old for a wide receiver, but that's perfectly fine for a place kicker.
Except I wonder, that is this an example of Dallas being just brand-oriented? So brand-oriented. Because Greg the Leg does have a brand. We usually aren't talking about kicker signings, though this is going to be related to Dak. But let's harken back to the times that one kick, one missed kick, not 10, has meant so much to a career. The poster child for that, I think, is Mike Vanderjack. He was with the Colts. This was in the 2005 season, Super Bowl 40 season. Steelers went in, were over a touchdown underdog. That was a team that won the Super Bowl. Very well officiated game, I think, against Seattle. And Vanderjack had a 40-some yarder. Now, when he walked out to kick that kick, he was the most accurate kicker in the history of the world. It's just that simple. He was the best ever to do this. He was in his eighth season, so he wasn't particularly old. Best kicker ever. He missed that kick. Wasn't even close. Literally, for the rest of his career, Mike Vanderjack had 7 field goal attempts. And he made 6 of them. And was out of the league. Now, that makes no sense. It's such a head game kicking. And if you, I think you got to account for that. And in fact, it just throw, whenever the default Vegas approach doesn't work in a given situation, it freezes me. Because it's like when the smart money is on the public side, I don't know what to do. Because I know I want to bet against the public, but But I know there's some rationale that makes the way the public's looking at it in this case, hypothetically, valid, which there are times that's the case, where, yeah, recency is what matters. Well, that means then the public's dumb way of doing things is the right way. I think the public's way, that Barney at the bar is going to say, Vanderjack stinks. He missed 10 field goals. But maybe that's the right approach with kickers. Any thoughts?
I'm having a flashback to Greg the Leg Zuerlein missing by about a foot in that game against Seattle. And maybe he wasn't the same mentally all year long. This I know, though. Brett Maher, the kicker last year for Dallas, is going to be bad his entire career. So this can only be positive.
Yeah, but if you're paying guaranteed money. So let's do this. When we come back, we're going to add in the DAC recap from yesterday, get a quick update. And Fez is going to give us his thumbs up and thumbs down on the big moves this offseason.
That's coming up next. But first, Straight Out of Vegas is brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it with their free same-day store pickup. You can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,600 AutoZone locations. Get in the zone. AutoZone. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. So, RJ, we talked about the signing of Greg the Leg, Greg Zuerlein, for the Dallas Cowboys, a three-year deal worth $7.5 million. But the big name out there is still waiting to be signed long-term, if and when it is Dak Prescott.
So, Fez, yesterday I had this theory. It hit me in the middle of doing the show prep. Wow. And here's my theory. I want to hit you with it. Give me your thoughts. The reason quarterbacks especially do not leave the team that drafted them is because to do that, you would have to then play your fourth year. Let's assume you're a first-round pick, though. In this case, Dak, everything moves a year less. Same concept. You'd play your fourth year for hardly anything, at least in the scheme of things, if you're an elite quarterback. Fifth year, yeah, you're going to have to then play for the tag in theory or the team option. And it ends up being that if you can sign before your fourth year, after three, you then have 2 years early, you're getting that lifetime security. And if not, you play that last year before the tag or the team option really cheap. If Dak would have had, you know, knock on wood, it didn't happen, a blown out knee, a career ender at the end of last season, it would have been a travesty. I mean, I know we always say, oh, they make enough. No. I mean, Jones, you've talked about this. How much has Dak made in 4 years?
$2 million plus.
I mean, listen, you can't be the Cowboy quarterback for 4 years and think that's a good number. So usually they don't want to play that last year getting nothing because the risks are too high. So they take a discount for the team. From their hometown team, then you can sign that big, big contract. That's over now. That risk is done. He can make 30-plus this year and literally be a free agent after this year. Why does he even consider a long-term contract now? I think if you don't sign him before last season, it only makes sense to wait. Thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with you because all the risk, unless he had some insurance, right, was last year if he had some devastating injury. Now that he's going to get one big payday, he can go anywhere he wants. It doesn't make any sense
for
him to sign unless he's getting top dollar with Dallas.
I agree. I think, if anything, Jerry Jones made the mistake before last season. I don't know who was being reasonable, who wasn't. Real quick as we go, Fez, give us your – next week – we're going to spend a lot of time on, with the benefit of a week or so, grading free agency. Who did well, who didn't, surprise moves. But the number one, let's tease it here, number one strongest opinion you've got compared to consensus on one of the moves, thumbs up or thumbs down?
I think the Chicago Bears, everyone's grading the Bears as having a terrible offseason. RJ, I think the upgraded quarterback with Foles, who has experience with Nagy in his career, and the team had lost faith in Trubisky, that trumps everything else.
So right now the odds are Bears starting quarterback week one, Nick Foles minus 175, Trubisky plus 140 or so. So this is an example where we're looking at, you know, over 60% chance Nick Foles is going to be the quarterback And remember, what do we know about Nick Foles that we didn't know a year ago? A year ago, he signed for a big, big contract with Jacksonville. What do we know? He got hurt. That's pretty much all we know. Because when he came back, was he banged up? Was the team lost? I don't know. But I don't take those handful of games he played bad after his injury as telling us too much. So I think you're getting Nick Foles right now, if you're a Bears fan, not that much more damage than he was before, and before he was worth a big, big contract.
If you missed any of today's show, you can check out the podcast over the weekend at foxsportsradio.com. We are straight out of Vegas. The Odd Couple is next on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates. We will be back on Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!